Greetings, salutations, and positive vibrations, and welcome back to another special edition of Off the Post, the world-class football podcast. As usual, I am your host, football journalist Nick Maitland, and today we reflect. We have some reflections. I have some reflections I want to share with you. And the first, of course, we have to start locally, and the first reflection I have today is upon the national football teams of Barbados, the Barbados Tridents and the Lady Tridents, the Young Tridents, under 17 girls, under 20 boys and senior men all competed this year. And cumulatively, we have mustered one win from our 10 games. Very concerning times for Barbadian football. Of course, there's been no local action, league or otherwise, on home soil for the entirety of 2021. The football season was cancelled in March of 2020, and we have not found our footing, pun intended, in the international scene. So please comment down below and tell me. You can even message me on Instagram at Nick Maitland, Nick underscore Maitland. Suggest to me, how can we go forward from this current predicament? It's not good for our national teams, but I think definitely we need to engage our youngsters, especially our senior players. We need to engage them in some more action domestically. Maybe the BFA will get some permission very soon and allow some local football to resume, because we cannot continue like this. This is kind of rock bottom for our national teams. And even though the rankings may not say so, certainly we feel it, and we feel the disappointment as fans and as lovers of this beautiful game. So let's hope that 2022 will bring different rewards and better rewards for us. We have CONCACAF Nations League action beginning in March, so let's hope that we can be successful there. One person who has extensive experience in the football field as a player, coach, administrator is Soraya Topping-Herbert. Now, you may know the name because when she burst on the local football scene, she was one of the only girls competing in the Baico football tournament, and she's carried that moniker all the way into secondary school, and then she went overseas to college, and she is a football professional through and through, a sporting professional, I should say. And she has implemented a program for our young girls called More Than Boots. One of my first nation stories and pictures was taken at the launch of Soraya's program, and I've been keeping tabs on the program ever since then, because I think it is very important and necessary for our young girls to be empowered. The same way how Soraya had to empower herself, being one of the only young ladies playing in the Baico tournament as a young footballer, she is now passing on that extensive knowledge to the next generation of female footballers. So I spoke to Soraya, and she told me all about the program, where they're going, where they were, and she also shared her views on the under 17 girls as well as the under 20 boys. The launch was great, and I remember the enthusiasm of the girls. So a year from now, how are we looking? How's things been going?
Yes, it's been a year, and it's been a very interesting year, due in part a lot to COVID-19, but we've still had a pretty successful year, I would say. We were able to work with six primary schools, and we had different formats for each school, so it was really a very flexible program. And we had some schools where we worked with them during their PE sessions, some where we worked with them after school, and then a couple where we would have the girls come on Saturday morning. So overall, we had over 90 girls that registered with us throughout the year. And it really helped us when we were able to go into the schools and work with the schools. When schools went online, or, we had a lot of situations where schools closed really suddenly, so we weren't able to kind of maintain those numbers. But we have right now about 20 girls that are consistently coming through our external program. So not necessarily done through the schools, and that those are some of the girls that would have come to us on Saturday mornings. And then we were actually able to grow through also like word of mouth. So we had a lot of girls that actually came on that just either saw the program by passing by, their parents saw it, or one of the girls said, we have a lot of fun on Saturdays, you should come and check it out. So we've been able to get some girls that way. But as I said, we had a relatively successful year last year, almost hitting our target of 100 girls, with that over 90. We wanted to get into 10 schools, but with COVID again and the challenges with schools, that was not reached, but still happy with getting 6 schools. We one really big part of the program that we really wanted to push was that this is a program to get girls into football, not just to teach them the skills of football, but to teach them life skills, and more importantly, to just get girls active. In Barbados, we have this growing problem of childhood obesity, and then we have the additional problem where girls are usually just less active than boys. And then to compound that, there are very limited opportunities for girls to go into their communities, to go into organizations and be able to find sports to participate in, especially sports that have been traditionally male dominated. When I started to play football, I played with boys, and that was, I don't want to date myself, but that was almost over 20 years ago. And unfortunately, the situation today is pretty much the same. If a girl wants to learn to play football, she, for the most part, is stuck having to be brave enough to go and play with the boys. For me, it was a problem. I grew up with a lot of boy cousins, a lot of two brothers at the time. So for me, it wasn't an issue. But for a lot of girls, that's kind of the first barrier. So this program really was to cut down on that barrier. And, you know, because of the turnout that we had in terms of registrations, we saw that, you know, really this is the barrier, is that girls don't, our parents sometimes don't feel necessarily safe in with their girls coming out, or, you know, feel free enough for them to come out and play. So for us, that was success in seeing that, you know, we were addressing the problem. And then in terms of physical activity, we were luckily able to partner with this company called Tetney Football, where they have this app that you can use to basically train on your own different skills and things like that. So basically, they gave us 2 years of free access for our girls. So for me, those are some of the things that are just really, I guess, exciting to see that, you know, there's a new generation of girls that are really not just getting into football, but they're being physically active. And then on the other side, socially, you know, these are girls that are learning how to be leaders or how to improve their leadership skills, learning self-confidence, learning how to communicate, and things like that, which is really one of the main goals of the program. End of that, all of that amazing stuff, what we did is we rewarded the girls that stuck with the program with football boots. So each girl that participated through to the end, they got a pair of football boots. And then we also would have gone back to the schools that we worked with and donated some footballs to them as well, because it's not just for the girls to participate, but we want to make sure that whatever we are putting through the schools that is sustainable, obviously with COVID-19.
I want to rewind a little bit. I should have asked you this first, but this is for the new listeners of Off the Post who may not know the name Soraya Topping Herbert. That's, you know, kind of weird to me. I think that everybody who is interested in football would know your name, but of course we may have some listeners who do not know you particularly well. But I want you to just introduce yourself and, you know, really highlight your footballing career and what makes you the perfect fit, in my opinion, to host and run a program such as this.
Yes, so I will try to be as brief as possible because it can sometimes go on forever.
Don't worry, take your time.
The ones that don't know me, I've been playing, as I mentioned, I guess earlier, dating myself, playing football for over 20 years. I first got introduced to it playing with Pro Shotters. At the time, it was professional soccer school, but now it's Pro Shotters. Had my first opportunity to play there. My big brother, he had invited me to come and check it out. At the time, I was doing some dancing. So that's how I got into football. And I say I come from a football family. So my dad, he's managed clubs. He's taken teams from Division 3 all the way to Premier League. And my mom, she's managed teams as well and always been around football. So I come from a football family. So at the age of 6 or 7 or so, I would have started playing football with the boys, as I mentioned before. Coming through those ranks, won a lot of youth division championships with Pro Shotters, went on when I was at West Terrace Primary School to then captain them to BICO finals in 2005, I think that was, so dating myself again. Unfortunately, we lost in penalties. I won the MVP for that competition, best female footballer, I guess. We actually had a couple females actually on our West Terrace team, but I was a captain, as I said before. And then after that, I went on to Queen's College, where I captained on the 14 team that same year, first year, to the finals of that on the 14 secondary school competition. And again, we lost. And actually, funny enough, I actually lost to my second brother. He was playing for Parkinson at the time. So that was a little family rivalry. After that point, I would have had the opportunity to go overseas to the U.S. to guest play for a club there called FC Delco. And in between that, before that, I would have had my first run out with the under 20 women's national team. That was the first kind of like national team that was put together and first age group. That's a team that we would have had in Barbados. And we would have competed in Cuba. At the time, I was 12 or so. So 12 playing under 20. That was an amazing experience. Definitely one to remember for a long time. But as I said, I would have been able to then go overseas and guest play with this club called FC Delco. Mm-hmm. And they liked what they saw. At that point, it was taking away a lot of time, of school time, because I was traveling like every couple of months I would go overseas to play. And, you know, they sat down with me and they said, you know, we really think you could get an academic scholarship, but we don't think that, you know, this is working out with you flinging back and forth all the time. And honestly, at that point, I was in fourth form, approaching fifth form. So, you know, for all of our Barbadians, that's a pretty serious academic time.
Yep,
so
it is.
To be missing a lot of school. I think recently I was looking back through, and I think when I did the calculations, my mother probably missed like a whole term's worth of school at that point. Wow. But I still did well. I was always able to manage my academics. So we decided that it would have been better for me to move overseas, to get into the U.S. system in terms of my academics, and then be able to play more consistently overseas. So I actually left Barbados when I was 15 to finish high school in the U.S. So I stayed with the host family, went through that whole process, played club football, club soccer in the U.S., traveled to tournaments every couple of months, and then finally was recruited to play at Purdue University. So I would have played at Purdue for 4 years, won a couple academic All-Big Ten awards, which are usually given out for reaching a certain academic standard, and then also playing at that level. So Purdue's a Division I school in West Lafayette, Indiana. And at that point, also would have played for Barbados senior team a couple times in competition. Well, I was kind of overseas and then going to college. So that's, I guess, pretty briefly my experience on that end. Sports and education, they go together. And for me, that's the gist of the program that we run, is about showing the student athletes, but also the parents, that sports and interest in sports is also an option. It doesn't have to be, it's either sports or it's either academics. They both go together. So whenever we do anything in our program, we always try to emphasize both.
I'm really proud of you staying in this particular lane, and, you know, because you just came on the scene as, I would say, a naive little girl, good at football, loved football, and just wanted to play. And you took that passion and took that interest and took the encouragement that so many people around you gave you and turned it into a career, turned it into a livelihood. And it's not even now that you're just known as Soraya that used to play football. You are known as Soraya, the sports administrator, the former footballer, the student athlete, all of these things just from a passion and from loving people around you, people around you that love you and support you. You've been able to really develop that into something worthwhile, something that can change your lives for many young women. So kudos to you. And kudos to the More Than Boots program for, you know, really taking care of our young ladies. You're in year two now. What are the plans for year two? And how are you going to make it even bigger and better?
We have big goals for year two. But with COVID-19, we've learned over the past year to kind of just roll with the punches, roll up, just kind of surf the tide. So even though, you know, we want to grow in terms of the numbers that we're able to reach, but that will be, you know, kind of influenced on how active you're able to be, because even now football is not allowed to be played because it's a team sport. So with the restrictions, you know, and that's coming, we're coming on to the end of the year. So a lot of the things that we want to see, they're kind of dependent on what restrictions exist, but we're looking to be able to reach more girls and hit that 100 target, get into some more schools, just be able to spread the program to more participants. And, you know, we want to be able to, know, gift the girls with some balls, because the whole goal of the gifts that we give is to encourage them to use them, but also to make sure that we're making things accessible. And those are some of the main goals that we have. But as I said, we're always being very innovative and flexible. So when one hurdle comes up, we kind of shift and we move in the other direction. But that those are the main things. Just being able to reach more girls through schools and then just increase our participation numbers.
Final question. You got some time to take in the under 17 girls in their qualifying campaign.
I thought with the under 17s, I thought it was a pretty decent showing. I think what ended up hurting us is that, also with our situation in Barbados, I think the game, being able to play games and understand what we would call gamesmanship, I think in the end, that is what kind of maybe hurt us the most in terms of the under 17s. Because when I look back on the first game that they had when they were winning, and, you know, then to come back and lose 2-1 within the last, like, 6 minutes or so of the game, a lot of that is just experience and knowing how to manage a game. So, for me, it's just a lot of things like that, I think, that came into play for the under-17 team. But I think they gave a good showing with what they had. They gave the best that they could. I think they played with a lot of heart. Hopefully, they'll use the experience and learn, you know. For us, sometimes in Barbados, we don't understand that the game is not so much about the technical being able to put passes together. We also have to be able to manage a game. And sometimes that's where I think also with the under-20s, we would have run into that problem in one or two of the games as well. How do we manage a game in different situations? You know, you can't be too hard on them. It's a learning lesson. And hopefully they take away the points that they can adjust on, and also take away the positive things that they did well. You know, they scored a spectacular goal in that game. I think it was with Belize. So, you know, those are things to take away. So we know that they can put those plays together. So just making them more consistent within the game.
Definitely. And I'm sure in the next, let's say in the next 15 to 20 years, the national under 17, under 18, under 19 team, all those teams will be made up of girls who started their football careers with more than boots. I'm sure
that would be amazing.
Oh, for sure. That's a goal of yours. So how can people get in contact with you and get their girls a part of the program? I know we may have some new listeners or some listeners who may have a little daughter or a neighbor or a little cousin, a goddaughter, may be interested in sport. Can they contact you and get involved?
So Raya 34 Sports is the name of the organization and More Than Boots is the name of the program. So they can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for handle Raya 34 Sports. We also have a website, which is raya34sports.com, and they can go on, they can find more information, they can submit contact requests, so they can reach out to me, to my organization via social media. And that's probably the best. So we also have email that they can reach us by, which is raya34sports@gmail.com. So social media, website, or email. Any questions that you have, we're open to answering. And the program is open to girls ages 4 to 12, so primary school age. And, you know, that's all you have to be between that criteria, willing to come and learn, you know, and we work with you from there. We've had girls that never kicked a ball before. They were extremely anxious the first time they come out. And now, you know, that doesn't even faze them. So we're definitely open to any experience level. We have girls that played before and they come out and, you know, they help teach the others that need to catch up. So yeah, so if you're interested, you're not sure if your daughter, niece, cousin, friend, neighbor would be interested, just reach out to us. We have some footage and stuff on our social media. You can see a little bit of what it's about and just get in touch with us. We're open to everyone.
Fantastic. Well said and well done, Soraya. Great talking to you and continue the great work you're doing with More Than Boots. It is more than boots. It is about empowering our young ladies and, you know, building a future where young women dominate or at least are heavily involved in sport. So thank you, Soraya Topping Herbert. This has been her little contribution to Off the Post, the World Class Football Podcast.
You can contact your Nation Publishing subscription team 7 days a week in 7 different ways. Call customer service any day at 430-5550. Call subscriptions at 430-5503 or 04. Email subscribers@nationnews.com. Email epapersupport@nationnews.com. Visit www.nationnews.com and select print subscriptions. Visit www.nationnews.com and select e-paper subscriptions. Visit our office on Fontebelle, St. Michael. If your call is not answered, please leave a message. We are here to serve you. Nation News, your news, your time, your way.
And we're back. Once again, thank you very much, Soraya, for that really in-depth look at the program. And we at Off the Post wish you all the best and all the success. Let me go over now to the international scene. Let's take this flight over to Europe. A few things happening in European football that I have to mention to you on the Off the Post podcast, because it is just big newsworthy stuff. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was relieved of his duties as Manchester United manager last week, and he was replaced in the interim by Michael Carrick. Michael Carrick is a former midfielder of Manchester United. He also won the Champions League in 2008 in what was the best moment for me as a fan of Manchester United. But United still have a long way to go. I think the playing staff needs upgrading significantly. When you look at the quality at United, on paper, you may think the quality at United is similar to that at Liverpool, Manchester City, even Real Madrid, Barcelona. But really and truly, the results have not been good enough. And I think there are a lot of players there who maybe should seek employment elsewhere. But that is for the new manager to decide. And if you were to ask me who I would want to be the manager of Manchester United, I think my pick is Erik ten Hag, the current manager over at Ajax. Great tactician, motivator as well. He plays attractive, stylish football. He improves players. And I think if you look at that Ajax team that got to the semi-finals, a lot of the players who featured significantly in that side, who got transfers to other clubs, they have not really hit the ground running. They have not really been world beaters at their new club. And that is my opinion, and I attribute that to Ten Hag's influence on their playing and their playing career. If you look at Frankie de Jong, Matthijs de Ligt, Donny van de Beek, Hakim Ziyech, I'm not really totally sold on them. But, you know, they're still very young footballers and still a lot to come from them. But Erik ten Hag would be my choice. But we'll see how that goes for Manchester United. Mauricio Pochettino, it seems that he wants to come over to Old Trafford. He has a really good situation at PSG, I wouldn't lie. But if he wants to take that challenge, that would tell me a lot about him as well. Gareth Southgate, the current England manager, he signed a new contract until December 2024. And I think that is pretty well deserved by him. England got to the semi-final of the World Cup and then the final of the European Championship. They're still to get over that final hurdle. But I think that Gareth Southgate right now has set a good culture and a good team spirit around England, and he should continue in his role. Tottenham Hotspur, my good friend Shano Ronaldinho would be proud of this. Tottenham Hotspur secured their first Premier League win last week, a 2-1 win over Leeds. Antonio Conte up and running in the Premier League. We have to talk about the FIFA World Cup, and there's some teams who have already qualified for next year's tournament. You can't believe that. Next year already is the World Cup. World Cup is going to be in December. That is a really, really big, I want to use a different word besides big. It's a massive deal to have the World Cup in December. We've never had one in December. World Cup is going to be in Qatar. I would love to attend. Attending the World Cup will be Qatar, as I said, the host nation. Germany, Denmark, Brazil, Belgium, France, Serbia, Spain, Croatia, Switzerland, England, and the Netherlands. Some good teams already qualified. So we still have to wait on some teams from Africa, some teams from Asia, some teams from CONCACAF as well. In the playoff round in Europe, some teams have gone to the playoffs. In the playoffs, 12 teams will be drawn into 3 four-team brackets, where single elimination matches in March 2022 will determine the region's final three berths. This is UEFA. In the playoff, you have Portugal, Sweden, Italy, Ukraine, Wales, Scotland, Turkey, Russia, Poland, North Macedonia, Austria, and Czech Republic. In CONCACAF, our confederation, remember, we are hosting the World Cup after this one, 2026. I definitely will be there. United States, Mexico, Canada look on course to qualify. Panama still with a chance. Jamaica still with an outside chance as well. In CONMEBOL, South America, Brazil, as I said, have already qualified. Argentina with a good chance. Ecuador and Peru. Chile as well. Colombia look a little off the pace, as well as Uruguay, Paraguay, Venezuela, and Bolivia. So, a lot still hanging in the balance in South America. Back up to England now. Aston Villa have appointed a bona fide Premier League legend with the announcement that former Liverpool midfielder Steven Gerrard has been hired as the club's new manager. The former England captain replaces Dean Smith, who was relieved of his position in the wake of a 1-0 loss against Southampton 2 weeks ago, and it was the team's fifth consecutive league defeat. Gerrard has been hired by Villa on a 3.5-year contract and bringing to an end his successful stint in Glasgow in charge of Rangers. He delivered Rangers' first Scottish League title in 10 years in his final full season in charge at Ibrox after going the entire campaign unbeaten. Listen to this. On the 11th of December 2021, Liverpool will take on Aston Villa at Anfield. Steven Gerrard will be there. I want to sign out here by talking about pitch invaders. I realize pitch invaders are not treated as harshly depending on who they are. If a guy runs onto the pitch, the security chase after him like he stole someone's money and they tackle him like this is American football or rugby. A little girl stormed the pitch, invaded the pitch, compromised the safety of players and everyone just to run to Cristiano Ronaldo. And because it was a little girl, they were lenient on her. Cristiano Ronaldo even gave her her jersey. But I want to say something. Invading the pitch, you put everyone at risk. No one knows if you have a weapon, man, woman, or child. No one knows if you have a weapon. No one knows if you're coming to hurt, injure, maim any of the players, any of the staff. Do not jump on the pitch. Do not invade the pitch. I am not a fan of pitch invaders. Even if you love Ronaldo, you run in and get a selfie, a kiss, or Messi, and it's always doing it to Ronaldo and Messi. No. I am not a fan. And there should be harsh penalties for persons who invade the pitch because you are putting everyone at risk. Especially now with COVID-19, you're putting everyone at risk. Let's cut it out. Say no to pitch invaders. Man, woman, or child. I mean, yes, some stories, you know, warm your heart when it's a little girl or whatever. Let's put an end to it. Say no to pitch invaders. But thank you for saying yes to Off the Post, the world-class football podcast. Thank you to Soraya Topping-Herbert for sharing her vision for More Than Boots and for the young girls of Barbados. And of course, stay tuned for all your local, international, and especially regional news here on this station. My name is Nick Maitland. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, take care.